Meteorologist Joe Bastardi, known here on this podcast as the American Storm, with my sidekick, I guess, Jeff Byers, the voice of Penn State Wrestling. Say hi, Jeff.
Well, greetings. Fun week coming up.
Yeah, that's right. Wrestling's reaching its high tide this week. And, of course, the American Girl will be with us in just a little while. She is back from Florida. And I know the American Girl fans want to make sure that she's just not someone that was on this podcast for a few episodes to pull people in. So she will be here. First of all, I have been reading some of the comments. I think some of the comments are right. We're going to try to tighten this thing up, get the format. And that doesn't mean I'm not going to squirrel around like I always do, because I have sort of a Bob Dylan stream of consciousness attitude, where whatever comes into my head, you know how Dylan, he'll sing a song, whatever comes into his head goes out his mouth. That's the same thing that goes on here.
You gotta be you.
I gotta be me. I gotta be. Yeah, okay.
See?
Well,
say already
distracting me here. Okay, we're gonna start off with a joke of the week. It's Valentine's Day, and this lady, she's taking a nap. She wakes up and she sees her husband go, "I had the most remarkable dream I've ever had." And he goes, "Well, what's the dream?" And she says, "I dreamt I got a beautiful diamond ring for Valentine's Day."
Oh.
And he looks at her and goes, "Well, I'll tell you what. Tonight you're going to find out the meaning of that dream, right?" So anyway, they're at their Valentine's dinner. He hands her a box. She's all excited. She opens it up, and inside's a book that says The Meaning of Dreams.
Aha. There you go.
I thought that was a cute joke.
Very
okay.
Romantic.
It was very clean. All right. All right, so we got a lot of weather coming up. The turn to colder has occurred across much of the country, and cold is going to be dominating much of the country the next 2 to 3 weeks here through Easter. And this is going to make things very, very interesting. So we're going to talk about this weather pattern first here. We are going to see a resumption of rain in the Pacific Northwest. I don't think it'll be as bad in California coming up this week. And we have a series of low-pressure systems that are going to be moving across from, we call them Alberta Clippers, where they're going to be moving across from the southern prairie provinces through the Great Lakes off the northeast coast. And most of the snow and flurry activity with this is going to be confined pretty darn far north. However, what happens is the one that comes through Wednesday night and Thursday, you see a very cold high is going to build into the Great Lakes in northeast. I mean, we're talking temperatures 15, 20 degrees below normal Thursday night to Friday. And that may be attacked by a feature from the west for the weekend. So while Jeff and I are in Kansas City, and this is I always dread stuff like this, because I like, first of all, I'm going to have to pay attention to the weather,
mm-hmm.
and secondly, where I am, it's not going to snow, but it may snow in a significant fashion from the northern plains all the way through Pennsylvania, maybe northern New Jersey, and southern New England this upcoming Thursday night, Friday period.
That's no good. I'm ready for spring.
I know you are. And there's going to be a pretty big nor'easter along the East Coast. Although, by a nor'easter, I mean wind and rain. But what's likely to happen with that is that, you know, after this initial shot of snow goes by to the north, this just turns into a pretty warm system along the eastern seaboard. So a very, very, in other words, it's raining in the 40s. All right. Here's the American Girl. And she's got a Penn State letter jacket on.
She's back.
Yeah.
Announced. My blood sugar was tanking rapidly. I had to get something to eat.
Oh, really?
Well, it's fine. Let's just continue. Continue on.
All right. Well, anyway, I know that feeling. Believe me. the very active week coming up, as I said. But next week's even more active, because come Sunday and Monday, what we call panhandle low pressure system is going to develop over Texas Panhandle, and this is really, really looks like a big ticket item to me. It's in fact, my son is down in East Texas, And he's probably going to be chasing tornadoes, if not Sunday, then Monday down there. Mm. So we just had a pretty ferocious outbreak in Ohio. But what I'm looking at coming up early next week is bigger. To the north of it, an out-and-out blizzard. Minneapolis, you know why St. Paul is next to Minneapolis, by the way?
I don't.
Because it's so cold up there, you need someone to pray to get rid of it. But
here.
The Dakotas, northwest Iowa, just going to get unloaded on early next week. But that storm will pull to the Great Lakes. And as it pulls to the Great Lakes, there's going to be a surge of warmth that comes up for a few days up into the eastern part of the United States. Then the front comes through Tuesday and Wednesday. So colder air starts pressing in from the west. And then this is what we call a leader-follower situation, where the leader went from the Texas Panhandle up to Michigan. The follower may go from the western Gulf of Mexico to New England. And west and north of the follower's track late next week, it's probably going to snow. And that may include here in Pennsylvania, along the Appalachian. If it snowed right into the coastal plain, at least at the beginning or at the end, it wouldn't surprise me. What's fascinating, folks, is that the artificial intelligence model has been all over this for 3 or 4 days, been insisting on this thing, and I'm watching the other models move toward it. So the machine learned model seems to be getting the jump on it. But just very, very crazy weather coming up over the next couple of weeks. So we just, I don't know, it's crazy. It's March. Your associate this morning, I think, Scott Giese. What I wanted to ask you is if he was any relation to a guy named John Giese, who was a legendary lifter in this area when I was younger. I'll ask him next week. But he says it's like the temperatures are like a bingo game. 68, 31, 29, you know, because they keep bouncing up and down. So very, very active weather in the next couple of weeks.
Mm. Welcome to March.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're 18 days into it. Yeah. Of course, yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite things that ever happened was the St. Patrick's Day mini blizzard in New York. Now, we got ripped off in Atlantic City. We only had about 1/2 inch of snow. But what happened in New York is they had 3 to 5 inches of snow. And when the parade went off, you can imagine what happens with all those Irish drunks out there and a few inches of snow on the ground. And I was watching the parade on TV in the afternoon and just getting such a kick out of the snowball fights that were going on, right? So tomorrow, of course, is a huge day. Now, I was watching Father Guido Seducci today from Saturday Night Live, right? Now, you don't know who Father Guido Seducci is, right?
No.
Oh, that's sad.
Usually I know these things.
Saturday Night Live, he was the Pope's personal emissary at the Vatican or something. It's hysterical.
Who's
take.
Who's in it?
I forget the name of the actor that plays it.
Okay.
I put it on Twitter.
I'll look it up.
He was talking about St. Patrick was a good saint, but St. Joseph was a great saint. St. Joseph, of course, is St. Joseph's Day is tomorrow.
Yeah.
And in Rhode Island, that's the huge holiday. That's the big parade holiday, the festa, the St. Joseph or St. Giuseppe. And it's a huge thing, right? So what he was saying was, and I always get a kick out of this snow around for St. Joseph's Day or St. Patrick's Day or whatever. And I get a kick out of saying, he starts off so good. He goes, he was a good saint. I like the guy. The Irish have it and this. But then he switches into St. Joseph and says, what about St. Joseph? He was a great saint. He was an unbelievable saint. He was, the reason he got ripped off is because he's got no songs, he's got no nothing. It's because of an overrated, mediocre, good saint, which was St. Patrick. But St. Joseph's Day is tomorrow, and it's fitting that it is quite cool. Obviously, coming from Rhode Island and being Italian, St. Joseph's Day is an important day to me.
Yeah. Isn't, Providence was where the Italian people fought, and then Boston was where the Irish people fought, right?
Providence was Originally, Rhode Island's Roger Williams settled there, but the Italians really took over in Providence, especially on Federal Hill.
Mm. I mean, yeah, it's
the only place. Well, Atwells Avenue, mm-hmm. which runs from Providence into Cranston, has the Italian flag painted down the middle of the road. So you can imagine that. But it's a big day in Rhode Island. It's going to be very, very chilly. And it's going to be very cold across much of the country, like I said, for the next week to 10 days.
What about in Kansas City?
Kansas City is
did
not
going to
be...
Did we already talk about that?
I did a little bit.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I said I'm going to be watching it snow here. Mm-hmm. And since I'm the forecaster for 98.7 The Fox... Mm-hmm.
Now, Northeast is warm enough that even if we get snow, it's not going to lay?
No, I think the system Friday night or Saturday could bring a few inches of snow and sleet. Mm. I mean, I've seen ice storms here in April. I saw an ice storm April 7th, 1972, Palm Sunday weekend. Easter was very late that year, right? And so Friday... We got from Palm Sunday off through Easter week, right? And Friday, I'll never forget, we were playing ping pong in my garage, and it was about 50 degrees in the morning. By the time I went to the Point Diner to work at 4 in the afternoon, this is Atlantic City. It was in the upper 20s, and it wasn't snowing. It was freezing rain, right? Which is, and you could get some of these big freakish storms at this time of the year. And south of the track of the low, the sun comes out, it's 70 degrees. You go 100 miles north, it's a heck of a lot colder. So
we can't have mid-April snow because Luke Combs is coming to Beaver Stadium.
What day?
I think, what, like April 14th or something?
We're probably done by then.
I hope so.
We're probably done.
And then, like, Blue White's April, too. We have Blue White Olympic Trials. Luke Combs. It's supposed to be a busy time in State College. But, yeah, if Luke Combs is cold, I'm not going.
Okay, well, we'll try to warm it up for you.
Thank you.
What does Luke Combs sing?
He's country music.
I know
he's awesome.
Country.
I've
heard his name before.
Yeah, he's great.
Didn't he have a song? Luke Combs, right? Didn't he have a song? Hair, give me a head
funny.
With hair. Okay, so we've just
funny.
About. By the way, what we're going to do is I'm not going to get this thing going in an hour and a half. We're going to go weather, we're going to go climate, and then we'll delve into some other things if we want to delve into it. And we're going to been talking to some people, work to expand this, maybe take some phone calls and stuff down the road, okay? So I appreciate, because I have been looking at some of the comments there, and the chief comment is, I'm not tight enough, I'm all over the place. So.
What do you mean?
I'm talking for 4 hours on something that has nothing to do with
it. It's your podcast.
I know it is, but I want it has to be information first, fun second.
Okay.
Okay. So, all right. So, with climate, all right. So, the usual suspects. I think last week we talked about the destruction of the German forest, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
We talked about how solar panels elevate temperatures to 70 degrees Celsius just above the solar panel. That's real good. So you have a 5 mile by 5 mile square area, 25 square miles of solar panels, okay? You realize what that's doing to the microclimate in that area? Slowly but surely, there's more and more coming out on the underwater volcanic activity. You know, NBC put out this, scientists are puzzled as to why the ocean's so warm. Yeah, well, you're puzzled because you're not looking at what is making it warm. I've gone over this a bunch of times. I will tell you this whole climate change agenda will be the nail in the coffin of freedom, okay? And that's all that's to it. Because once you get into a situation where people are, because of climate, are forcing you to drive this car or forcing you to do this or forcing you to do that with an inefficient and as of yet not proven way of doing things. Oh, well, it's proven. Didn't you see 27% of the energy in England was being used by wind turbines or wind turbines were producing it? Yeah, for 5 minutes.
Well, right? and part of the problem, Joe, is we do not know the impact that this is having. What you're talking about with the solar panels, we don't know what the consequence is of that. And it may be minimal. I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible, but it seems unlikely. My prediction is within 20 years, certainly within 50 years, we are going to look back on this and say, my God, why did these people rush into something that was so devastating and had such
nice
consequences
guy.
On the environment? Because we don't know what the impact of these solar panels are. We don't know, although I think we're starting to figure out that, you know what, the wind turbines are causing a lot more problems than what was originally anticipated.
They self-destruct in 20 years, and where are you getting the material for them? As coming from foreign countries. I mean, this is nuts. But you want to know something? Here's where I disagree with you. 20, 30, 40, 50 years, by that time, the freedoms to be able to express your opinion will be gone, and no one's going to admit that. Is anyone to admit that rushing that vaccine? Listen, don't start screaming you're anti-vaccine. That's not what I'm saying. If you want to take it, fine, go take it. But you had the President of the United States telling people that we had a pandemic of the unvaccinated and that I was going to kill my mother and father because I didn't get vaccinated. In reality, they got it, and we all got sick from it. But the fact is that they don't fall back, Jeff. Look at the Arctic ice cap. It is higher today than it was the day Greta Thunberg was born. There's more ice in the Arctic ice cap than when she was born. Right? How many times have you heard that going? They don't care. That's all that's to it. That they're zealots. And the reason I get like this is because this is the nail in your coffin. I'm sorry, the coffin, the freedom is in a coffin. And the climate change, the controls that could be enacted, the whole thing from that, I could see if there was something that was beneficial by it. But you simply adapt. And you know what is really weird? What we've got going here, we have got people that purposely want to prevent the freedoms that would solve the problem if the problem was occurring anyway. They're trying to stop that. So they want the problem to continue to be enhanced so they could turn around and blame it. Look at we had 200 people rioting with pitchforks or whatever they did, scaling the Capitol walls, and that was an insurrection, all right? It was a riot. There's no question about it. But then you have the current sitting vice president of the United States was bailing people out while they were burning down government buildings, right? Yeah. So all I'm saying is, Jeff, 20, 30, 40 years from now, if there are wind turbines and solar panels scattered throughout the land, it will still be portrayed as a success unless by some miracle of God this is stymied. And I don't know that, I'll accept whatever God wants to do, but I don't know that it's going to be stymied.
The weird thing about that is, though, is like, maybe it's just the area we live in. I know we live at a university, but I don't really know that many, like, really radical left-wing people. I barely know any left-wing people. If I do know left-wing people, they're, like, considered slightly right-wing now because the left has gone so far. You know what I mean? They're more, like, centralists. And it's just crazy. The average person you meet is not a lunatic, you know? But meanwhile, you have a feeling, and like, it seems like I can't really fathom the election going just peacefully and normally. But based off the countenance of the average person I meet, I would think that, oh, this is like, America is a good place. It's filled with, America's great because Americans are good, because the general American I meet is good. And maybe that's just a privilege of the area that I live in, or a blessing of the area that I live in. But the average person I meet is not a lunatic. Yet you look at the government and it's like, okay, how do these officials get in when the average person is not a lunatic? So it's like, on the day-to-day basis, it doesn't feel like freedom is very threatened. But when you go and look at the, like, come November and everything, and just look at how the last election went when the whole Black Lives Matter riots happened in conjunction with COVID, like, that seemed like it came out of nowhere. Like, it was around this time, right, during the election season. The NBA canceled the season, the NCAA canceled the season, everything started to go get the ball rolling. So it's just really hard to fathom sitting here right now thinking, like, everything, like, come November, things are going to be crazy and our freedoms are going to be threatened, because it's very encouraging with the average interaction I have on a day-to-day basis. Yeah, but, I don't know if you guys have a different opinion, and I just have great, people around me, but the average person's not crazy, and you know.
I know they're not crazy, but they're complacent. And that's the thing. Edmund Burke is right. The only thing needed for evil to triumph is if good people do nothing. And what happens?
But what
is
do you think they should do?
Well, they should
clearly pay. Voting doesn't do anything.
Well, they should pay attention.
Well, pay attention. Okay, and pay attention and
is,
vote.
The problem is, it's like anything. It's like you have to. You can't just read what you're told to read.
Okay, but here's what I'm asking. If you don't trust the voting system, which I'm not, like, I don't know if I'm, like, I don't necessarily
I used trust, to trust it when we...
I don't trust checks and balances. I don't trust the government. I don't really trust the systems we have with voting, so I'm not really sure about election outcomes and anything. If, let's say you do want to do something, and you don't want to sit complacent, like, what do you do? Like, what do you do in this? But like, you just speak up. Like, I know a lot of people who feel certain ways and they like tweet and stuff, but not everyone has a massive platform. And it's just like, and like, I know a lot of people who are in, like I said, I know a lot of people who agree with me and are just around me. And all they can do is like prepare for their family and stuff.
Yeah. Well,
but what do you do?
What I do is I constantly pray for the strength to accept and whatever solution there is, and to do what God made me to do. In other words, he made me to do the weather. I got to figure out how if it gets to a situation where, look, you know, the man's down there in University of Pennsylvania screaming and yelling about how we got to get rid of the GOP because he wants one party rule and he doesn't think anybody should be able to speak up, right? Well, what could happen here is a year from now, this podcast won't be on anymore, and not because we weren't successful, it's because the people that want people put in jail.
I don't think they're. I mean, I guess it depends on like the
it's,
next.
It's not.
Like, well, I don't know with like Elon and stuff. Like, I can't imagine a day within the next year that you cannot post this podcast.
What makes
on
you think that Elon, given what's happened to Trump, is not the next one in line to get taken down somehow or the other? I mean, the guy. You heard what happened to Donald Trump today. He can't pay. He will have to sell off his assets for pennies on the dollar to meet
dudes
a,
like that figure it out. Like,
that's what I'm saying. So, you know, there's only so far out of line Elon can get. There's only so far out of line even J.P. Morgan and BlackRock. If they sit there and go, well, this whole thing is nuts, you know, with the EVs. Look, the EVs are not nuts, folks. What they are is an extra choice.
I know, forcing it is.
Forcing it is nuts. That's the big thing. The vaccine was not nuts. Forcing it on people. That's what you have to look at. All right? Doing your part to, you know, if you want to save the planet, that's great. But forcing your will upon someone else, I don't understand how we've gotten here.
And forcing it, and also like providing, like lying to people for reasons that you should do it. You know, like that too, like warping the truth. So it's like, this is all the information that we have on it. You pick, not like you're going to kill your grandmother and grandfather if you don't get this vaccine. Like, okay, so
I know
some people chose to do it based off that. And it's like, oh, a good Samaritan type thing. At the end of the day, you have to listen to your own gut and do your own homework and not listen to the politicians. Yeah, that's true. But it's like when information, like, you don't even know what to believe anymore. It's really, really difficult. It's just like it honestly gives you an awe for God, because it's like, dang, God has access to all this information all the time, and he didn't get overwhelmed. And now we have access to the internet, and I can barely figure out what's true and what's not true. Like, it's just really crazy. But, we got into this because it's like, what do you do when, like, you can't really go to the polls and trust that your vote matters? You can't, and you don't want to be complacent. Like, what does someone do? Like, I don't really know.
You have to read, educate.
And what do you do with that?
Okay. You educate yourself. And then if presented the opportunity, you offer not, you don't, okay. When I present anything on the climate change issue, I said, listen, don't believe me. Go look at what I'm looking at and come to your own conclusion. The problem is the last 20 to 40 years, the educational system of the country has been destroyed, all right? And you've got, look, you know, I'm a member of Calvary Baptist as well as, you know, all these other churches I go to. And they're lamenting, I mean, they have this 2030 vision goal. And when I'm looking at the numbers, what they're saying, to just try to get 30 to 40% of the people in Center County to go to church, for instance. What the hell do you think is going to happen if you turn your back on God? You're going to go to hell. Mm. All right? So, and people say, "Oh, you're forced." I'm not forcing my opinion down your throat. You know, they have this survey about woke people on average, yes, are much, much angrier.
I saw that today. It's like 60%.
Yeah. 60% of them are just angry.
60% more likely to be depressed, more likely to be angry,
vicious.
More likely to be, yeah.
72% of single white females, I've read this study, vote Democrat, and close to two-thirds of them have some kind of issue with it.
I think it's like over the age of 35, too. Like single white females over the age of 35. So childless females.
So what can happen is if there's trolls listening to this, and there probably are a few trolls listening to this, Pastore's a misogynist, all I'm doing is presenting the facts. Just like I tell people, from 1951 to 1990, the ocean's barely warmed. All right? Mm-hmm. If the oceans don't warm, the air is not going to warm above it more than just a little bit, maybe a tenth of a degree. In 1990, there was a marked increase began in geothermal spreading. We have 10 million hydrothermal vents that we don't know what the heck they're up to, right? Because we won't put the data sources in there. But what do you think is going to happen if those things are more active and they weren't as active before? And I'm just amazed at, but it's across the board. Here, take this vaccine. You know, your grandfather, just, you know, one of these guys. I mean, he, and it's one of the reasons I never took steroids. I was scared stiff of it. Mm-hmm. He said, "Don't put anything into your body that's a biological shortcut." Mm-hmm. So when I'd see these guys, it'd be, you know, gain 35, 40 pounds.
Yeah, there's always a price to pay.
They're back there. I'd go into national level shows. And there would be in the package said, "Do not leave your needles, in the trash can, because, you know, it might poke the poor maid or something like that." I'm sitting there going, these guys are all doing this stuff, and don't they know, you know, what might happen down the end? Now I got to tell you something. That's their choice. If they beat me, I don't really care. I honestly, goodness, maybe I cared back then. I don't really care now. But what I do think is that what Grandpa, what my dad said, was exactly right. Anything that is a shortcut, okay, and isn't natural, you better beware of it, right? Mm-hmm. CO2.
Wait, that reminds me of this quote. It was a Carl Jung quote. You know Carl Jung?
Yeah.
Yeah, it says, "Beware of unearned wisdom." It's kind of the same thing. It's a very good one.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. You bring something to market,
like,
and
unearned
in 6 or 9 months or whatever it is. And that's the other thing. You know, the Republican candidate, Donald Trump. I don't know how you guys feel about him. I love his policies, but why would you hammer Ron DeSantis? Why are you still doing that? I'm just amazed. I watch this stuff. I go, is this some kind of crazy setup or something? I mean, especially since DeSantis is a family man, most diverse state in the union, did a great job. He's obviously ready to govern, all right? And maybe you're just jealous and egotistical. I don't know what the heck it is. But why are you even saying that about it? Okay, that'd be like, give me a great wrestler.
Carter Sturacci.
All right, let's say... Carter, you know, some guy that he beat. Although that's not a good example because he keeps going after that Indiana guy for some reason.
Never mind.
Right. Well, it'd be like Kale, you know, talking about beating. Yeah, I really made Daniel Cormier look the way he did, or who some of the guys that he wound up beating. Right. You got to rise above that stuff.
But it's different. It's like now they're on the same team again, DeSantis. And
no, that's what I'm talking about.
So your wrestling thing didn't work. It's like, I don't know. They're still competitors. Like,
No,
we don't need an example. Trump is now going after someone who respectfully, like, all right, you're going to be the nominee, whatever, and I'm the best state, and you're on your team. It's like a coach going after his quarterback. Like,
yeah, well, why? You see that. I mean, every time Jimbo Fisher,
an Aggie
quarterback,
we see how that turned out. So
now we're going to finish up with a little bit of wrestling here.
Please.
Okay. Now, I do want to explain, because I wandered off. There's linkage. If I were you, I would read everything. I would not trust Joe Bastardi. I would simply say, well, maybe I should go look and see why this guy is coming up with this. And if he's full of baloney, you're full of baloney, all right? But just going to one side of the issue, or having Joe Scarborough yell at you, and that's supposed to get you to actually do something. It's just crazy. Now, wrestling's this weekend coming up.
NCAA championships, yes.
NCAA championships. Now, none of us here, because we're obviously blue and white, we're not going to make predictions, all right? I will.
No, but if we did make, like, there's nothing inconceivable about Saturday night being a Penn State duel.
I think the rest of the wrestling world is out to stop that. Now I've thought of that. The one thing I do think is there are a couple of guys, three guys in particular, that I think are going to place higher than their seeds. I think Aaron Nagao is. I think Bernie will, and I think Mitchell will.
I think Carter will too.
If Carter Starace, and look, I'm close with Carter. We're close with Carter. If he wins the Nationals, they should just crown him king and make him OW. Seriously. And I looked at that seeding. I go, how the heck do you seed three national champs in one bracket and leave the other bracket alone?
Yeah, there was some interesting stuff on the 74 bracket. Seating. Wasn't that are we allowed to talk about that?
Yeah.
The San Diego State guy, wasn't the only coach on the seating committee the San Diego State dude? And the only. Did you see that on Twitter? I don't want to. Never mind. I'm going to find it and then I'll talk about it, but continue.
Well, no, but I'm just saying is seeds, you know, if you're kale, seeds aren't as important.
No, right? No. That's who was I talking to? I was talking. Seeds
but
are
there
just...
are people that didn't even want Carter seeded ninth, like because he didn't wrestle the Big Tens. He's been arguably him and Aaron are the most dominant wrestlers over the past 2 years, and of course, yeah, they're all real real good. So I'm gonna be interesting to see what happened. But I've been watching Andrew and Bernie. I think they're getting better. I think that. You know, Bernie beat the kid from Nebraska that beat him.
Yeah, Lenny Pinto.
Yeah,
yep.
And that kid's good. And I think that they will have him ready for that Minnesota kid. And see, this is a big thing about the Penn State staff. If they see you, so, okay, we saw Pinto. We see Salazar, right? Who is a beast.
He is.
They saw the kid from Northern Iowa, who's a beast. So they've seen him. So they're ready to coach Bernie up. And that's a great thing about one of the great things about that staff.
Yeah, it is crazy. I would love to see the statistics on, like, once the Penn State guys have seen a guy, like, their percentage of winning against. Because it always seemed to me, like, once a Penn State guy learns how to beat someone, they very rarely.
Well, the only problems with that are guys from Cornell. What are they, 7-2 against us, or you know, some kind of crazy thing? Now two times it was Dake, and last year, you know what? It's interesting. Vito is hurt this year, and he's in the same place that Roman Bravo Young was last year. Because Roman, when you've got that much speed as a Roman Bravo Young or Vito Arugino or whatever, if you're 5% off, it's not like if Joe Bastardi's 5% off, you can't tell the difference. But strength it's funny. If you're a Mike Makes Right wrestler, a lot of times strength being a little bit off or being bumped up or injured doesn't make nearly as much a difference as if you're slowed down, you know. Plus, he, you know, Roman had that kid from Arizona State semis last year.
He
had to bust his tail with.
Yeah, that was a tough match.
To win. So, so anyway, it's going to be interesting nationals. This is our, you know, I was watching basketball the other day. What were we this year, Penn State, 14 and 16?
Well, after the tournament, 16 and 17.
16 and 17? So we're not going anywhere.
Correct.
All right. What'd the women's do?
They are the number one seed in the WBIT, the inaugural basketball invitation tournament.
All right. Well, you know, I mean, just more power to them. I don't watch basketball that much. I used to love it when I was a kid, but I don't really like it that much. It's too much fouling and hitting people.
Well,
go on.
I just have a question. What do you think the point? Do you have a point prediction?
I think they have an excellent shot at getting to the 170.
Is that that's the number? What is
yeah, 1997's Iowa team, and yeah, you know, there's a bunch of different paths to get there. I did a interview that I think is going to be posted sometime in the next 24 hours with Bill Horlocker with StateCollege.com, and he interviews me each season ahead of NCAAs and asks for these grandiose predictions. But the thing with that Iowa team in 97, this Penn State team has much greater expectations than that team had. That was Gable's last team. They actually lost to Oklahoma State in their final dual meet of the season. I think had two Big Ten champions, if I'm remembering that right, and then turned that around and had five national champions, record six in the finals. But eight All-Americans, and all 10 guys did win at least three bouts at the NCAA tournament. But and they had very good numbers in terms of bonus point victories, but it wasn't overwhelming. It wasn't like they were pinning everybody in the first couple of rounds. I think they finished with like five or six pins, I mean, which is a lot in a national tournament. But and they did have a rash of major decisions. But again, it wasn't overwhelming, and it was pretty much all decisions, which, again, is not surprising in the semifinals and finals at the national tournament. So, you know, when you look at this Penn State team, certainly they could match what Iowa did or even surpass the six finalists. Again, nothing assured, but, I mean, obviously Carter Storace is capable of getting there, and you have six guys that are seated in the top two. So, I mean, that gives you, if with Storace in there, that gives you even some margin for error in terms of getting six to the finals. And certainly, you know, I really think Penn State has nine guys in my mind that are legit national title contenders, and I'm not predicting nine in the finals or nine champions or anything like that, but I really think Aaron Nagao is the only one that I'd be really surprised if he was in the finals. And it's not so much because of Nagao's wrestling, it's just that weight class, those top three to me are just next level. Plus, you have Arugia sitting there, but I mean,
well, I think I'm watching him, and he looks like he's got a rising tide behind him.
Oh, yeah. He's healthy and he's ready to go. I just think Dayton Fix, and I mean, I'm not sitting here telling you it's impossible for him to win it. I just think Dayton Fix and Ryan Crookham have consistently separated themselves from the field this season. Regardless, maybe it is 10 legit national title contenders, but I mean, the point is they have 10 really good wrestlers. Yeah. All of whom can certainly finish high on the podium, many of whom can contend for a national title. Well, if this team racks up bonus points at the rate that it did all season, which is over the starters won over 50% of their bouts by bonus points this season, if they continue that, and they did it, you know, in the Big Ten tournament, I mean, they've done it against good competition. It wasn't like they racked up those stats all in the Edinburgh meet, or I mean, they did it consistently against the top tier competition. And so certainly in the first couple of rounds, you figure Penn State has a chance to get a lot of bonus points. And I think, again, they can match or surpass what Iowa did in 97 in terms of the placements. And then, you know, they have a chance to become just the second team in the history of the sport, along with 2001 Minnesota team, to have 10 All-Americans. And that 2001 Minnesota team had 10 All-Americans, but none of them were in the finals. They won the team title with 10 guys that all finished between third and eighth.
That's so interesting.
You know, at the end of the day, this team has a chance. You got to go prove it, but the track record here, especially since 2016, is absolutely remarkable. For Kale Sanderson and this staff in terms of what they do in the semifinals and finals. So if Penn State gets six or seven guys to the semifinals and they're in that 140 neighborhood come Saturday morning, I think they're in really good shape to make a legitimate run at the all-time scoring record.
You know, it's kind of weird. I was down in the room today. And, you know, our sauna downstairs was broken, so we had to go upstairs. But there was the mats were cleared. No one was there. But there was Connor Pierce, and I forget who else, and Kale Sanderson. They were all three of them in the room. Now, what do you think that they were doing? This is 3 days before the Nationals.
Playing dodgeball, playing spike ball or something?
No. We used to play it all the time, too.
What, basketball?
Basketball with the pull-up bars, right? And I'll tell you what, Kale's a beast at that sport, right? But we used to do that constantly. Mm-hmm. And I was laughing real hard at it. And, you know, that was about the only fun we had. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, how surreal is this? I don't think Tom Brands is down, you know, playing. He's like one of the great things is our coaches have not taken themselves too seriously. They still like to have fun. They're still big kids, you know. And it's going to be interesting to see how. I said to Casey, we had a couple of guys in the club in the sauna, some high school, and Casey and I were talking. I said, "Well, you know, I've known Casey for 12 years now," and he goes, "15, right?" I go, "That's right. You guys came here in 2009, so maybe even earlier. I can't even remember." All right, well, we've got to sign this thing off. It was a little bit tighter than normal, but we're back next Monday.
We are.
And Penn State. And we'll be able to review some other things.
Yeah.
There's, of course, going to be something going on. And, again, I just want to one of the things I seek to do is get people to look at all the information, all right? Lord knows, especially after this winter forecast, it proved to everyone that I'm not as skilled as what I did a thing with the New Jersey Weather Observers the other night, and they were so nice to me. They were and this winter, as far as I'm concerned, is like flunking a course. All right, and the only thing I could think of was when I was done with them was, this is like what happened with my dad when I kept flunking a calculus course, and he kept being nice to me after, saying, "I know you'll get this. I know you'll get this." They were really, really good people. And across the board, if you love the weather, you got WeatherBell. You can follow me on Twitter. We got big hurricane season coming up. I think you're going to see everybody follow us into the abyss over here. And, of course, I express gratitude that we have people that are actually listening to this and put up with it. We do have some talented people here. If not me, then the American Girl and Jeff. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to sign this off now. Everyone, enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.